The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for that. Take your Bible and go back to Luke chapter 6 and verse 21, as I read just a little bit ago. You know, for years, when I had the privilege to live and work on staff for 8 years in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, I was the music coordinator for Christian schools. And they would come, and we hosted the big Christian school event for all the Christian schools that was in the state of Mississippi to come to our church that participated. And so I coordinated the music there for all those schools that would come in. And can I tell you what a wonderful, wonderful privilege it is to be able to be in a church where the music is right and just doing a great job there. And so thank you so much for that. Luke chapter 6 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Then look down verse 25 again. The Bible says, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." And I said, that's pretty much the total circumference of man. You know, where a person is going to go through that which is a time of weeping, they're going to go through that which is a time of laughter, they're going to go through that which is a time of happiness, if you will, please, joyful glee. And then there's going to come a time of maybe just a little bit of soberness will set in. You know, maybe times in your life, I mean, you can't walk around, I've said this often, you can't walk around with a smile on your face all the time. Probably wouldn't be normal, but you can't walk around poochy lip disease either all the time. Probably not going to be too normal there, okay? You are going to go through valleys in your life. That's a part of being human. You are going to live on the mountaintop sometime in your life. That's part of being human. You are going to have times, yes, as a believer, where you're going to have questions in your life that you don't know the answers to. That's part of being human. You are going to have times in your life where it just seems like that no matter who asks you a question, you've got the right answer, okay? And those times may come in your life. Now, they're rare. Just like the mountaintop experiences are rare, most of us, we don't live on the mountain, we don't live in the valley, most of us live in the plains, where we're just kind of walking along, serving God, just doing what we're supposed to do, but we do have the mountaintops, we have the valleys, you're going to go through things like that. I want to speak on this morning on are you hungry? Now, I'm not talking about the physical hungriness. Every guy in this room would probably stand up, even if you ate a meal 5 minutes ago. Man, you're going to stand up and you're going to say, of course I'm hungry. You know, somebody asked me the other day, I was getting ready to go out to eat. I'd been out door knocking for such a long time on Saturday, and I was getting ready to go out to eat, and they looked at me, my partner did, and said, "Pastor, are you hungry?" I said, "Come on, man, I was born hungry." You know, and so that's pretty much the state of man, you know. You notice this, you notice different ones in the Bible when they were getting ready to die. You notice different ones in the Bible. Seems like the men were always said, "Hey, go kill me some venison." You know, bring the venison. The wives were always concerned about, "Hey, how's child so-and-so? How's child so-and-so? How are they going to make it? Are they going to be okay?" But it was the guys, last thing on their mind was, "Hey, go kill me some venison. Bring me something to eat." All right? Notice this. Are you hungry? There is some things in the Bible that God says we're supposed to be hungry for. There are some things in the Bible that God says, I want you to have an appetite for. Let me give you a couple of those things this morning. Statement number one, hungry for godliness. Hungry for godliness. You know, godliness seems to be something that is becoming a thing of the past. Now, it ought not to be that way. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, I believe this with all my heart, that when you get saved, all right, God saves you, and yet there will always be a hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm fearful that some people get confused with their hungry and thirst after righteousness, and they think, "Man, I tell you what, I don't feel good on the inside. There's something not just right, and so therefore I must not be right with God." Now understand, you're not supposed to go by feelings. But as long as you're alive, there's always going to be a hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's always going to be, if you're a healthy Christian, you're always going to have this inside of you, I want to grow more. I want to do more for God. I want to please God more. I want God to use me more. And so understand this, as long as you're saved, and by the way, once saved, always saved. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. It's not conditional on the way that you live. It's not conditional on if you were baptized, not conditional on if you are a church member, not even conditional, though you ought to be faithful to church. It's not even conditional on if you're faithful to church. No, everlasting life is found in one person. That one person is Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you everlasting life. Your name is written in the book of life. It is sealed unto the gathering of the saints. Now, can I tell you this? There is, however, once you're saved, I don't care if you're serving God full-time or not. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you sing in the choir. It doesn't matter to me. If you're an usher, I don't care who you are. There's always going to be a hunger and thirst after righteousness. The healthy Christian cannot get enough of church. The healthy Christian cannot get enough of the Bible. The healthy Christian cannot talk to God enough. The healthy Christian is always wanting their friends to know how to be saved if they're lost friends. The healthy Christian. And so there's always going to be a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. The Bible says in Psalm 107 in verse 9, the Bible says, he is satisfied, it says, the longing soul. Listen to it now. He satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul. Here it is. With goodness. Now, doesn't it stand the reason that when you do good things, you feel good? You help somebody across the street, you feel good. You do something that's nice for someone, you feel good. All right, so God says about that which is the soul that is longing. One of the ways to have your longing fulfilled is to do good for other people. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, the Bible says, the full soul lofteth, it says, the honeycomb. And the hungry soul, it says, and to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. And so you ever see somebody so hungry they'll eat anything? Yeah, I watched a documentary old couple of weeks ago, and there was this guy. He was somehow or another, he kind of locked himself in some type of room or something, and man, he got hungry. Before you know it, he's eating all sorts of things, which I'll not name because all the ladies will say, I'm not going back there no more. But you know, he was eating all sorts of, he's consuming all sorts of things. You know why? Because he was hungry. He was hungry. You ever do this? My mother used to do this. Now, Mike, you got to eat everything on your plate. I mean, that was a household rule. If I put it on the plate, you're going to eat it. Here was the punishment of that. You're going to sit at the table until you eat it. I remember one time I just had it inside of me. And I said, I'm not going to eat it. I'm just not. I was about four, five, six. No. Let me see. Went back to my parents at six. I was probably seven or eight or so. And sitting at the dinner table. And so my mother came in. She said, green beans. I could not stand green beans. I couldn't figure out how to eat them. Long, stringy thing. How do you put that in your mouth? You know? And I was sitting there. And I don't remember what age I was. But I know I had this. I remember the incident. I do remember supper time was always at 5 o'clock. And dinner bell rang. Sit around the table. Sat there. And those things stared at me. And they said, eat me. And my mother agreed. Said, eat them. And I was in my heart saying, no. 5 o'clock went by. Everybody's done about 45 minutes after we get into it. That's with fellowship. Everybody's dismissing. I get up. My mother looks at me and says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go to my room. She said, no, you're not. Sit down. I said, Mom, why? I knew why. Mom, why? She said, those green beans, string beans, you're supposed to eat. I said, I'm not hungry for those. She said, I don't care. Eat them. And I sat there, you know, like some of your kids do. I sat there, bottom lip started pooching out. I thought I could get her that way. No, no. Sometimes I thought my mother took lessons from Hitler. I learned to appreciate her later on, but man, bottom lip came out. I sat there. She said, "That's not going to help. You can do whatever you want to do. You're going to eat them." Man, I sat there, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. About 9 o'clock, I'm falling asleep. She says, "You're going to sleep here tonight if you don't eat them." I felt like my mother meant business. So what did I do? 9, 9:10, 9:50, 9:30, something like that. I'm eating my string beans. She said, "Now, you know, you could have left this table hours ago if you simply would have ate the string beans." You say, "What's that got to do with the sermon?" You know, we ought to be hungry after the right things. You know, when it comes to godliness, it just seems like there's a dearth in our society. We ought to desire to be hungry after the, and then, by the way, don't get it confused. There's that hunger, it's natural. I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. There's a natural hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're inside of you. Some of you feel this way. I know because I've been through this. You go to church and you say, "I'm still empty." Yeah. You read your Bible and you say, "I don't get it. I'm still empty." There's that feeling of emptiness. It might be because you're not stepping up and doing the right things in serving God. There's you can take it in and take it in and take it in and take it in, but if you don't spend time giving some of it out, you're always going to have that. And by the way, can I tell you, even for those of us that step out, we give it everything we've got, there's still a hunger and thirst after. By the way, I'm saying that's healthy. The day that you stop having hunger in your life is the day that you start being unhealthy. It's a natural thing. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that as long as you're saved, you ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, it says the soul lofted, it says in the honeycomb, and the hungry soul, it says to that hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I read it a moment ago, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. There should be that hunger after godliness, statement number one. Statement number two, there should be a hunger. Be hungry after God's word. Be hungry after God's word. I know people that they will spend a lot of time reading about the stock market and the markets. You know, the market exchange. They'll spend a lot of time. I know other people that read a lot of stuff about leadership. Spend a lot of time. I know other people read a lot about people skills. Spend a lot of time. I know people that are history buffs. Man, do they know history? They're good, and they study it, and they long to know more. I know people that do woodworking, and man, they're always looking for new ways to be able to do new techniques of woodworking, and they study it, and they learn it. I know people that study mechanics. I know people that study law. I've got several friends of mine that are lawyers here in the Dallas metro area. I've been able to pick their brains and been able to talk. And can I tell you, they know law. I know people, if you will, that know what it takes to be able to physically endure. Man, they study the human body, the anatomy. They study it. I know people that are experts in cooking. Man, do they study cooking. I know ladies that are experts in shopping. One of the ladies over here said, move on. I know men that are experts in fishing and hunting and camping. Hey, I'm saying this. Don't you think there ought to be some people that rise up and say, "I'm just going to know the Bible. I mean, God saved me. God gave me eternal life. One day I'm going to stand before the God of heaven. One day God is going to take this book. He's going to, if you will, please bless me in this present life or not bless me according to how I live by the book. And if that be true, and it is, then why don't we just decide that we're going to live by the Bible? I'm saying there's a hunger for God's word. First Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, the Bible says, as newborn babes, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So as you get the word of God in you, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how do I build my faith? I get in the Bible. How do you gain endurance? By doing certain things in your life. How is it that you sharpen your mind by doing certain things in your life? How do you be a well-being person as a believer? You get that book in you. Somebody says, well, I just doubt the Bible. Most people that doubt the Bible are people that don't read the Bible. Somebody comes to me, well, I just doubt that God did this. Here's my question. Did you read it this morning? Well, I'm just not sure about God. Did you read it last night? Did you read it yesterday? See, church is not a substitute for your personal walk with God. It's not. I thank God for preaching. Why? Because I am a preacher. But I thank God for preaching. Even when I wasn't a preacher, I'd listen to it. God would stir my heart. He'd change my life. It was great. Still does that today. But you will not survive just by coming to church on Sunday morning. You're not going to make it. You know, and can I tell you, you ever sit down and have a platter of food and you just taste a little, here's what you say. You're trying to lose weight. Here's what you say. I'm just going to taste a little bit. Yeah. And you got that food right out there. It's right there. And you say, that's it. I'm just going to taste. You're determined in your heart. That's it, man. I'm just going to show up. I'm just going to taste a little bit. You walk into this restaurant and you can smell the aroma of the food that's being cooked. And then you begin to second guess yourself and doubt. Well, maybe I'll take two bites. And all of a sudden they bring this sizzling plate out to you. I mean, with fish that is cooked just excellent. Or maybe a steak or whatever you do. And so, man, they bring that and they put it down there. And you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to eat two bites. I'm taking the rest home, and I'm going to eat this just two bites a day for the next 4 months. But, man, they bring it out. They set it down before you, and all of a sudden that aroma now begins to, I mean, now it's becoming personal. You're under personal attack. It's coming. It's going up into your nostrils. It's connecting with the brain. And now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I can't just take one bite. Nobody will know, you say. Nobody will know. So you eat it, and you order two and three other helpings as well. All right, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? The Word of God ought to be that good aromatic smell that's going up your nose. Yeah. Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. I deal with Bible doubters all the time. Here's my question. Did you read it? Well, no, I've not read it. No wonder you're doubting it if you don't read it. The Word of God will prove itself. The Word of God will show you all truth. But if you're doubting it, I promise you. Isn't it funny? Researchers will do research in this manual, in this book, in this. When I was born, I had a very bad blood problem. So they rushed me down, of course, because of the blood problem my mom had, stuff like that. They took me to John Hopkins Hospital they were one of the top 10 hospitals for babies in America down in Baltimore City. And so I was looking it up last night and stuff like that about the university and stuff that's beside it. And John Hopkins, that gave the money back in the 1800s and all that stuff. But, I was born there. Can I tell you, listen, there was extreme care that was given. And because of the extreme care that was given, I'm alive today. Can I tell you that as a believer, you can die as a believer spiritually if you don't take extreme care of yourself. You know, they tell me when I was young, they'd give me shots and all this other stuff. And I remember having to eat the liver and stuff that had iron in it. Man, I either had to eat it for breakfast or for lunch or for supper. And I had to do that for about 10 years. And nasty, 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 nasty. You know, now I look at it on the menu and somebody says, hey, look, preacher, they got liver. No, thank you. I'm saying this. I'm saying you hunger for godliness. You hunger after the word of God. The Bible says, and I reiterate it, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. You're not going to grow without the Bible. Psalm 81 in verse 10, the Bible says, I am the Lord thy God, says, which bringeth thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, he says, and I will fill it. The Bible says over in Psalm 119 in verse 47, the Bible says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Psalm 119 verse 77, the Bible says, thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, that thy law is in my delight. Psalm 119 in verse 97, the Bible says, it says, oh, how love I thy law. He says, oh, how I love thy law. He said, it is the meditation. It says, it is my meditation all day long. The Bible says over in Psalm 119, verse 103, the Bible says, how sweet are the words, it says, unto my taste. They are sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, verse 113, the Bible says, I hate vain thoughts. It says, but love, it says, but it says, thy law, it says, do I love? All right, so there has to be, there, somewhere along the line, you've got to develop a love for God's word. Can I tell you, if you develop a love for God's word and you get in the Bible, you're not going to doubt his love. You're not going to doubt his sincerity. You're not going to doubt his principles. You're not going to doubt the truth. You're going to have a desire because of the Bible principles that's given in the Bible. You're going to have a desire to live right and to do right because God, through the Word of God and by way of the Holy Spirit, makes it very personal to you. And then that hunger and that thirst after righteousness will always be there for you. I'm saying this. I'm saying hunger for godliness, hunger for God's Word, hunger for the house of God. God's house. God's house. Down at the supermarket, I can get physical food. And if I want physical food, folks, that's where I'm going to go. But if I want spiritual food, oh, I'm appalled. Today, I'm going to tell you what I'm appalled at. I'm going to chase my little rabbit to the end of the road. I'm appalled with these churches that had turned them into rock and roll centers. Oh, that bothers me to no end. I think God's house ought to be a holy place. I think God's house ought to be reserved for the teaching and the preaching of God's word without it being distorted prior to that which is the teaching and the preaching of God's word. I don't think it ought to be something that somebody says, well, you got to draw the crowd. If soul winners would do what they're supposed to do, the crowds would come. If every Christian in the church decided, hey, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do, there'd be no empty pews in a church anywhere. If we just do our job, I'm just being honest, there'd be no empty pews anywhere. Why? Because of the fact that people hunger and they thirst after righteousness. When I pastored in Tennessee, I had a dear brother come up to me and he said, now, preacher, he said, you don't think that preaching, you don't think people's going to come for that preaching. Do you really? He said, sometimes you get too excited. I said, well, pray for me. He said, but sometimes you'll walk on the pews and you'll stand on the remembrance table and you'll walk over all the choir chairs and some, you just get too excited. I said, you get excited about a ball game. Tell you what, you get excited about what you want to get excited about. I'll get excited about what I want to get excited about. But I think that my excitement has more value than your excitement. Amen. You know, I do believe this. That's how come the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why our young people are searching for something else? I believe this, because they're coming to dead churches. That preacher gets up and says, man, God is just so good. Nobody says amen. So the young people's looking around and saying, well, nobody in the church believes it. Why should I? Yeah. Nobody's smiling. People falling asleep in church. I'm saying this. I'm saying Psalms 27 and verse 4. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. It says that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's David. David said, I just desire to be there. I just want to be there. Man, I just want to be there. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to come to church and always fight for the front rows. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there's people fighting for the back rows. I didn't know that either. But man, I was so, so hungry for the Bible. Man, I'd come to church and I had teenagers that would sit beside me and all of a sudden, you'd see that they weren't paying attention. And I was in the youth department. I was a teenager, but you know, the guy's preaching. You know, and he's my pastor, and I had a great respect for those that opened the Bible. And so I'd look around, I'd see a teenager that wasn't paying attention, and I'd sit beside him the next service. So who told you to do that? Nobody. I just wanted to help them because they needed to hear what was being said. I'd sit beside him the next service. And all of a sudden, you know, they begin to, I'd go like this, shut up. I said, pay attention. It's good. It's good. Before I know it, I was going in and sit beside teenagers, and a teenager would get up and move. But I'm saying this. I was at a huge conference one time. I never forget. Huge. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people there, and there's people sitting in front of me, and two young people sitting in front of me, and man, the preacher getting up, fantastic man of God. He's getting up there, boy, he's preaching, and I'm thinking, ooh, this is so good. This is so good. Man, I'm taking notes, and I'm trying to keep up, and man, I'm trying to learn the Bible. I'm so excited about the Bible. I want to grow. I want to please God. I want God to bless my life, and oh, I'm taking notes, but every time I look up, these two kids that were dating each other, I guess, you know, and finally, it just got on my nerves, so I tapped him on the shoulder, and I went, shh. He rolled his eyes at me, you know, so then I tapped her on the shoulder, I said, shh. She rolled her eyes at me. So I tapped both of them on the shoulder. I said, shh. Then I leaned up and said, if you guys don't shut up, I'm going to come down there and sit between you two. And they said, okay. Now what? You say, that's mean. Somehow or another, we have lost respect for that which is the house of God. I'm telling you. I'm sorry, I'm just being honest.
Right.
But man, it appalls me when I see churches where the guys are coming in shorts to church with flip-flops.
Right.
What's going on? And you wonder why America's having so much trouble. We have lost respect for the Bible. We have lost respect for that which is godliness. We've lost respect for the house of God. I mean, come on. I'm saying this. I'm saying we need to get back to having the right type of hunger. Hey, you ought to be hungry about coming to church tonight. You ought to be hungry about bringing your Bible and saying, okay, God, you got something for me. And man, I need you so bad. Show me what I need in my life. You ought to be hungry about that. I'm saying this. I'm saying in Acts chapter 13 and verse 6, here's what it says. The Bible is talking about how Paul is coming through an island, and there he finds a certain sorcerer and a false prophet. He's finding people that are opposing the word of God, but yet there was one that called them. He was a deputy in that country, and he said, man, I really need you to come. His name was Sergius, and he asked him to come, Sergius Paulus. He said, come. And so here Paul comes, and here Barnabas comes, and they bring the word of God. Why? Because there was somebody that was desirous to hear the Bible. You know what encourages a pastor? I'm just being honest with you. What encourages a pastor is all of a sudden the pastor's preaching, and He looks out and he connects with people's eyes. Now, it happens. I'm sorry. If you didn't have eyes, it would not be a challenge. But because you have eyes, it just happens that way. I don't preach to the back wall. I had a teacher when I was in Bible college, and he'd get up, it annoyed me. He'd always teach. He'd say, now, open your, today we're studying the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look down at verse 9. He'd always talk to the wall. You know, and here we are. We're right here. He just always to the wall. I don't know what he saw on that wall. It wasn't a nice wall. It was an ugly wall. I'm saying this. I'm saying hunger after godliness. Hunger after the word of God. Hunger after God's house. I've got to hasten and give it to you and I'm done. Hunger after God. Hunger after God. When's the last time some of you fellas, I'm being honest now, come on. By the way, Parkside Baptist Church has had great success with great challenges. Can I tell you, I remember the day when we had some people that left our church, and I you got to understand, I was an evangelist for 12 years. I was used to people coming. Nobody was leaving. People bring vans. Some cases a bus or two would come or whatever. You know, people would come from other churches, pastors. Hey, Brother Wells, great to see you. I mean, you know, I've been a counselor of pastors now for probably 20 years. I'm the guy that many pastors will call on a Monday especially, and they will say, hey, I got a problem. Can we talk about it? I've been a counselor of pastors for many years. God has allowed me to be in some neat places, and, you know, we've seen the church grow, and we're not done yet. There will be a day when the auditorium packs out already, balcony filling and stuff. There will be a day when all this fills up. I mean, you know, it'll happen. Right. Maybe a day when we have to build another building or go to two services. It'll happen. No doubt about it. But I remember the day when all of a sudden one person came to me. Just one person came to me. First person came to me and said, preacher, just want you to know, this is our last service. I said, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean last service? You, vacation? What are you doing? No, we're leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? You want to spell that for me? What do you mean leaving? Man, my heart broke. I'll be honest with you. Went in the office, got on my knees. I wept for about an hour. You know, was finally, I just, what did I do wrong? Yeah, I'm preaching the Bible? I don't get it. What in the world did I do wrong? Had some other people leave. And by the way, we're still the same, still preaching the same book, still Bible principle. Just blew me away. Had some people left. I walked the backfield out here. He would ask me, it'd been on staff, Brother Palmer would say, you okay? I said, I'll be all right. I'm fine. I'll be okay. I remember Polly Wathick was stopping me out here. He joined the church about two weeks after that I became pastor. And he saw me walking down the hallway one day. My eyes were real red. He came up to me, patted me on the back. He said, hey, man, it'll be okay. I said, yeah, I know it'll be okay. But when you love people, it hurts. When you pray for people and you stand beside them, and all of a sudden, I'm just telling you, because I'm human too. It just hurts. I remember all that stuff taking place. These were good people, by the way. There's not one person that's ever left our church that I've ever talked bad about, trying to hurt them. These are good people. Wait a minute, watch this. But man, I was hurt on the inside. And I remember just walking that backfield and saying, dear God, please help me. I need you. I need me help right now. And boy, the sweet Holy Spirit of God would just move in, say, Mike, it's going to be okay. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep going soul winning. Stay after people. Go. Do what you're supposed to do. By the way, no matter what you're going through, let me help you, this too shall pass. Called a pastor up during that time, older pastor, friend of mine, said, man, I just don't know what's going on. He says, I don't know what you're about to ask me, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say one word to you, and that's all I'm going to say. And he said, then we'll have a conversation. I said, okay. And he said, stay. He said, you got any other questions? I said, well, I wasn't planning on leaving. I got some other questions, yeah. But I'm saying this. Okay, hunger for God. God can help you when you're thirsty. God can help you when you have problems. God can help you when you're down. God can help you when you're discouraged. God is the one. Your friends may walk away from you, but God will never walk away from you. Psalm 63 and verse 1, the Bible says, O God, it says, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in the dry and thirsty land where there no water is. The Bible says over in Psalm 143 and verse 6, he said, I stretch forth my hand, it says, unto thee, it says, my soul thirsteth after thee in the thirsty land, Selah. Psalm 42 and in verse 1, the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so it says, panteth my soul after thee, O God. I'm saying no matter what you go through, there will always be God. So I just don't understand God. I just don't think I'll make it through God. I just don't see how it could be God. I just don't know if it's going to make any sense, God. I just can't understand it, God. But you'll never know him apart from this book. Never will. You never will. Well, I'm doubting, preacher. I just don't know if I can. I can't get it. The more you spend in this book, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you can trust him. The more you trust him, the more he'll carry you through every trial in your life. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.